each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome, Tony, Christina, Ron, on the other side. Today is the commemoration of the faithful departed. Yesterday we had, of course, All Saints Day, but we're not going to deal with that today. I think I'm going to come back to that tomorrow. I want to talk about all the saints that visited us yesterday at here at St. Stan's.
Was
it was really, really nice. Were you at that Mass?
I was at that Mass.
I wanted to be there. I completely forgot about it.
And they were dressed so beautifully, right? They were
beautiful.
Really, really good. So we had almost, I think there were 18.
It was a...
Quite a few, and
yeah.
Only two that were repeats.
St. Michael.
So there was two St. Michaels and two of another.
Oh, St. Rose of Lima.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But it was great. But you guys are gonna help me out today because I've got an interview this afternoon. We've got a group coming in from Orange County, and they're doing a. This is a Eucharistic revival year, and so they're doing interesting. One of the really nice things that came out of the New York Times article was that they saw the image of the monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, and so they want to bring this into this movie. They're doing a movie documentary on Eucharistic revival, miracles of the Eucharist. And so they were really drawn to this and want to know, where has this come from? What does it mean? And so we're going to talk about that today. And you guys are going to help me out because I've got questions for you.
No.
I was thinking to Tony and Christine. If we had a telephone, we would be
taking calls,
you know. So, but anyway, so we're going to pray. And we pray for the faithful departed, that the Lord grant them eternal rest and peace. And we pray for peace in the world, no doubt. Really horrific things going on right now throughout the world, and we got to pray. We just have to. I mean, we're powerless without prayer, aren't we? Really,
yeah.
In the face of the things that are going on in multiple ways and multiple levels throughout the world, even in our own city of Chicago. So let's offer a decade of the. We're going to do a decade of the chaplet, the Angelus, the chaplet, and then I want to end with the prayer that we pray to Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, as kind of a preparation for this interview this afternoon. So we'll pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy, rush to the aid of your children, awaken Christendom from slumber. Render the people of God wholly possessed by Jesus, the divine mercy. Guide us to seek sanctuary in the Ark of your Immaculate Heart, alive and at one with the Most Holy Trinity, and draw down upon your children a new Pentecost to renew the face of the earth. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
And to the faithful departed, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So like I said, as I said, you know, today's the commemoration of the faithful departed. We will offer the Mass this evening. We had a beautiful Mass. Tony, you were there last night. It was really nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was very beautiful. Yeah.
I don't normally come to the late night, you know.
Right.
But it's so beautiful. The people all around and it's just a time of rest, in a sense.
I love the end of the day of the Mass.
I just wish I could do it more often.
It's just a very peaceful time. It's quiet.
It's very mystical.
We had music. It was very nice. Now, tonight it'll be a very, very quiet Mass. So I want to talk, because we've got this, it's really quite interesting. It's really, I spoke with the team, and I don't have, I'm running from one thing to the next, so I don't have all the names and all that with me, but the deacon who's in charge of this is from Orange County, and they're doing a movie documentary on the Holy Eucharist, Eucharistic Revival. This is the year of the Eucharistic Revival, and we haven't really talked much about that because we talk about the Eucharist all the time anyway, and but they want to, you know, they're also looking at Eucharistic miracles and the like, and so they're very inspired by the monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy, because it's quite unique, because it's 9 foot by 9 foot, and it's it really comes right out of the Book of Revelation. The heavens open and the ark appeared, and then the woman clothed with a sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. And so the history And I'm trying to think, because how do you tell the whole history of the parish and the why of the sanctuary? Why are the doors open? Why the monstrance? What is it doing to people? What kind of an impact does it have? Because I was in the chapel thinking about the Eucharistic miracles, and the Eucharistic miracles are really can be told by the people who are transformed, converted, healed, strengthened as they place themselves before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's really the when we talk about the Eucharistic miracles, because there are very specific miracles that down through the ages where the host bleeds and the like, but not in any way downplay that at all, because that's certainly a sign to people that that Christ really is present in the Holy Eucharist. I mean, he said, the evening of after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, he said, "I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will remain with you." And what does Emmanuel mean but God with us? And so if we just the name of the monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign. Why the name Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy? Well, certainly, we point to the Book of Revelation. Then God's temple in heaven opened, and in the temple could be seen the Ark of His Covenant. There were flashes of lightning and peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a violent hailstorm. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, because she was with child. She wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. And so the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, also calls to mind the promise God made to Ahaz from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In speaking to Ahaz, the Lord said, "Ask for a sign from the Lord our God, and let it be deep as another world or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, he says, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then the Lord said, "Listen, O house of David, it is not enough for you to weary men, but must you also weary God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. So Jesus, after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, in his farewell discourse, he said, "I will not leave you orphans. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be, but I will come back, and but I will remain with you. I will remain with you." And at the appropriate time, because he prays to his Father, and he says, I thank you for these. They are your gift to me." He's looking down, and not just the apostles, but looking down through history. He says, basically, not just for these, but for those who will believe on their word. And so in his beautiful prayer to the Father, he says, I thank you for these you've given to me, and I'm not asking you to take them out of the world yet, but do protect them from the evil one," which the implication is that we're always in spiritual battle as we're making our way from here to the homeland, right? And so he remains with us in the Holy Eucharist. We need only go to the evening of the resurrection when Jesus appeared to the two disciples, the risen Christ, and they didn't recognize him. He made it that they wouldn't, and you all know the story. They were sad, eyes were downcast, and Jesus said, "What has happened? Why are you so sad?" They said, "We thought he was the one, we thought he was the Messiah, the one to set us free. He gave us strength. He loved us. He gave us peace. He was our strength. He gave us hope. And while he's been crucified, he's died, he's been buried." And then Jesus says, "Oh, how foolish, how quick you forget. Wasn't it all supposed to happen this way?" And he goes back into and Jesus is extrapolating from the Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament, no Gospels. This is the day of the resurrection. And he said, "What did Moses say?" And then he goes through all the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, What did they all say? Baruch, Zephaniah. Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? And then they come to this juncture in the road, and Jesus acted as though he were going farther. And the two disciples say, "Sir, come and stay with us." And he went into their home, and the gospel said he sat down at the table. He took the bread. He did very, very much. Well, he did exactly what he did on just a few days before on Holy Thursday. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks. He gave it, and he vanished from their sight. And then they looked at each other, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us?" They recognized him in the breaking of the bread, and they immediately moved into mission, right? Mass means missio. They moved into mission. They went back to Jerusalem to break open the door to the cenacle and to tell the apostles that Jesus is alive, how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. So he leaves the bread, which is not bread, but it's his body and blood, his soul and divinity. And so this is central to the Catholic faith, to our worship of God, worship, adoration, supplication, thanksgiving, our seeking always forgiveness for sins, our sins that we're being in a perpetual way, as that Holy Eucharist, as Jesus has perpetuated the Messianic hour, the fount of the divine mercy, perpetuated through history until it comes at the end of the time, because we've been set free from our slavery to sin and death, yet we've yet to die, and we're still sinners. And so we're being purged, transformed, sanctified in our, and certainly when we go to Mass, we renew our covenant. We open, the Word of God is opened, we renew our covenant, we're reminded who we are, who God is, what we must do. And as we move to the altar of sacrifice, we renew our covenant in the offering of our lives, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, and then we have communion in Jesus, with Jesus, for Jesus, through Jesus, to the Father, and we have communion. We're fed with the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ. But the consecrated host remains consecrated. It remains the sublime mysteries of our faith, Jesus present to us in the Holy Eucharist, and we in a sense perpetuate our participation in the Mass through the adoration of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where we're at. But now, what about this iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign, which was unveiled and blessed by Cardinal Francis George on May 31st, 2008? So that's what... is that 25 years ago? No.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, 25
years ago. Wow. On the Feast of the Visitation. The idea of the iconic monstrance was conceived 9 years prior to its unveiling. At that time, we heard a call from, a call was heard, which resulted in the entrustment and consecration of the parish of St. Stanislaus Kostka to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this discernment, we've talked about this, but a discernment which I led inspired a parish-wide response to establish in the heart of Chicago a sanctuary of the divine, to the divine mercy. The doors of the parish were opened, and eyes were turned to Mary, Holy Queen and Mother of Mercy, because she asked, "Make me Mother and Queen of the parish, that the cacophony of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God." It was accepted that the Blessed Virgin Mary had asked for and created space for sacred silence, that the voice of her Son would be heard anew, and that he would be adored in the Blessed Sacrament. And so we had Stefan, God rest his soul, Stefan Neododezo, was commissioned to sculpt the image of the iconic monstrance according to the design conveyed in the Book of Revelation, which I just read to you. In a nutshell, why that image? Certainly we have to hearken back to 587 B.C., or even before that, because the people had really gone astray, and they were guilty of all kinds of idolatries. They had turned their back on the alliance, the covenant, the Israelites. There was all kinds of abominations taking place in the temple. And the prophet Habakkuk pleaded with God because he knew that there was going to be a chastisement, a punishment to bring people to their knees in order to rebuild them, because through them the Messiah was to come. And Habakkuk pleaded and said, don't let this happen. But God says, you know, I will, within a generation, I will rebuild this people. And so in 587 BC, now see, what was central to the worship of the Israelites was the Ark of the Covenant, which was they were instructed to build while they were in the desert journey before they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the manna, the bread that sustained them on the journey, the tablet of the Ten Commandments, as well as the rod of Aaron, the priest, and where the ark was, they knew God was with them. And so, and they were instructed to build the ark and have angels, their wings would overshadow the ark to signify Shekinah glory, the presence of God. But when they, when in 587 BC, the Babylonians conquered Judah and Jerusalem, and the people were deported, exiled. It was no longer their nation, and the temple was destroyed, and the ark disappeared, never to be found. But in the exile, the prophet Daniel, or the angel Gabriel, appeared to the prophet Daniel and said the temple would be desolate for 70 times 7 years, would be 490 years. 490, and then, of course, the Persians defeat the Babylonians. They return. The Jews, the Israelites, are permitted back into the land. It's no longer the nation, but they can rebuild the temple, and they do, but the ark is not there. So they wait 490 years until the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel, same angel, appeared to Mary, the Blessed Virgin, in Nazareth, and said, you know, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, that you've been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And she gave her fiat. Let it be. But she said, how can this be, since I do not know man? She was a virgin. And she and Joseph, obviously both chosen by God for a specific purpose, that they understood, I don't know, but they gave themselves completely to God, holding nothing back. And so how can this be, since I do not know man and will not know man? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bear the Christ. And so she conceives in her womb who but God incarnate, the giver of the law, he who would be bread for the journey in the Holy Eucharist, that we not collapse as we make our way to the homeland, and that he reproduces life in us, and Jesus, the supreme and only priest, high priest. And so the image of the Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy, has Our Lady emerging from the Ark. She's a new Ark. The prophecy is fulfilled. The temple is not desolate, and so in the image, she's there's the crescent moon, the crown of 12 stars, because she's also the bridge between the old and the new covenant. Those 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel, as well as the 12 apostles, a church built on the pillar of the 12. Apostles, and of course she's pregnant with child. But the other thing, and then we'll take a break here, is that what's interesting, and this is why the image is very powerful, because on the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the priest would sprinkle the blood of the lamb in expiation for the sins of the people on what was called a kaparet. This is the top of the Ark. And it was called the mercy seat. Now, in the Old Testament times, it wasn't the queen, the wife of the king, who stood alongside the king, but it was the mother, the queen mother, and she would intercede on behalf of his subjects, those who were going to be punished or whatever. She would be there alongside, interceding. So she's kind of the mercy seat, and there she is also at the foot of the cross. you know, the sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. At the foot of the cross, again, there too, a prophecy is fulfilled. Mother Israel, mother, daughter Zion, in a moment's time would suffer the pain of labor, give birth to children she never conceived. And so at the foot of the cross, the fulfillment is the prophecy is fulfilled because she's there suffering the pain of labor, birthing children she never conceived, the Messianic people, because we're born from the blood of the cross. And so she'd be, so Mother Israel, mother, daughter Zion, becomes Mother Church, you know, from the cross, Jesus, woman, behold, this is your son who represents all of us, son, behold, your mother. And so the monstrance really it's iconic in that sense that it really it's a catechetical tool, but at the heart of the iconic monstrance means to show forth. In her heart is the consecrated host, the Blessed Sacrament, and so there's a great power that emanates from the sacrament. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to trans...
Bye now, and God love you.
Okay, welcome back. We're just having a conversation here, and I'm not even paying attention. So anyway, so the point is, so Eucharistic revival, the miracle of the Eucharist, adoration, you get the why of the iconic monstrance, and the fact that we fulfill the call that the doors be open the doors 24/7, and that's the call that came to us from Our Lady, and we've kept that promise by God's grace. Things have gone really, really well. Now, why is adoration? Why is this important to the people? Why is this important? So I'm going to ask this of you, Tony and Christina. Mm-hmm. What if somebody were to ask you, why adoration? Why is this important? What does this do to you, or to others?
Do you want to?
You're going to let me go first.
You go first.
Wow. I'm at Mass all the time, and I think adoration to me is just it's. It's that moment of being silent, really. I mean, a Mass is beautiful. There's many things going on. But I think in adoration, and it took me a long time to understand what it is. And it's basic. It's drawing into the silence. And what I love about the art, you sit there and you just need to be, you know that there's a presence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just wrote that down. Be still and know that I am God. Yeah.
Be still. And the beauty of it, and I always pick up on this, but at church when we were doing the Divine Mercy, I realize that if you sit there in the prayer, you're being vocal. But in silence, you see the Divine Mercy in back, because that's the way it's positioned in the church. And
right.
I think it, you know, as much as I loved when at first we had the Ark in the center, you know, of the temple, and although I missed that, I know now the significance, even with what you said, being reminded of it again, to sit there and see Jesus, the Divine Mercy, you know, blood and water, and then you see that Mary is there on the seat, the mercy seat. Many times I've come with so much on my mind, and to sit there and realize that I give it all to you. In silence, you hear the voice of Jesus, and many occasions.
That's, you know, what comes to mind, a couple of things as you say that. I think Saint Therese, who was asked, you know, what do you do when you pray? She says, I just let the Lord love me. And Jesus says, you know, go into the inner chamber, shut the door, and you needn't say anything. You know, your Father knows everything. And it's through Jesus to the Father, you see. Yeah. And really through the Immaculate Heart of Mary into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus to the Father. So the iconic monstrance really encompasses the two. You can't separate the mother from the son, the king from the queen. The fact is that, and of course we celebrated this yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
The Feast of All Saints. You can't separate the mother from the son, the queen from the king, but they're not frozen. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, nor is Our Lady frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. She continues to live. She's in our midst. She asked, make me mother and queen. And so she's in, she's very much alive and very much active in the world and will be forever. And, well, until the end of all things, when the world passes away and the full realization of the kingdom is ushered in. And so, and certainly it's our desire, our hope, I hope this is our desire, is to emulate the Blessed Mother. And that's why I said in the celebration, in the offering of the Holy Mass, we renew our fiat. Her fiat, let it be done to me as you have said. And when we offer our lives on the altar of sacrifice, we're giving ourselves to the Father through Christ, emulating Mary, the Blessed Mother, her fiat, let it be done to me as you have said, right? So so that's Christina, do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, Father. And like you said, that the family, it can't be broken or separated. You know, when the people are in the presence of the king, everybody has to kneel or bow down except the mother. The mother doesn't have to. Yet the son, he honors the mother, and the mother always refers everyone, you know, listen to my son. So they right. both. So it's beautiful, the connection and the beauty of the Holy Family, how everybody is on the same page, and nobody is, you know, like somebody said, oh, well, you're taking away the attention from this, from Christ or God or the Blessed Mother. It's nothing like that.
No, it's exactly as you said. You know, she says, do what at the wedding feast mm-hmm. in Cana, Galilee, do what he tells you to do. You know, so she lives to do the will of God. And in John's Gospel, we only see her twice, at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And that marriage is consummated. It's highly symbolic that the ministry of Jesus begins at the wedding feast, and she initiates his movement toward the hour. Because when when she says, they have no wine, and he says, woman, why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come. She just then looks to the stewards and says, do what he tells you to do. And so she initiates his movement toward the hour. And the only other time we see her is at that hour. And there she is at the foot of the cross, fulfilling the prophecy of Simeon, that a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. And the prophecy of Isaiah, that Mother Israel, Daughter Zion, Mother Church, in a moment's time would give birth, would suffer the pain of labor and give birth to children she never conceived. So the there was something else. Oh, so to your point as well, the when Jesus spoke to the crowd, and this is in Luke's gospel, and a woman cried out and said, blessed the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And he says, no, rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And, you know, people might say, well, see, he's putting
the woman
right
down. Yeah.
And he's he's raised. Of course, she's blessed because she gave me birth, and she nursed me, and she raised me, nurtured my. You know, the awesome reality that God entrusted Himself to a woman who was prepared already from Genesis, that this woman would emerge in history and her offspring would crush the head of the serpent. But
The hour too, Father, when he at the wedding feast, when he says, "Woman, why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come." And but then he goes ahead; he honors her there too.
He did. Yeah. He performed his first miracle. They call it in John's Gospel. They call it his sign. Mm-hmm. He performed his first sign. Yeah. But what he's saying is, you know, she's blessed, most blessed, because she heard the word of God. And she kept it. And that would be the same thing in the visitation when Elizabeth said, you know, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb, referring to John the Baptist. Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. You know, so there too, you know, it's that we emulate the mother of God. And we learn in the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, there's sacred power that emanates. We're in the presence of God, the incarnate God. It's this incarnational spirituality. You're not just looking at a dot or a piece of bread, but you're actually in the presence of God who has come to us, who remains with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And he who created us, he who redeemed us, he who wishes to sanctify us. And so there is a transformation that happens in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. You know, it's from the perspective of a priest myself. Because having worked in the office, you too have heard. But the testimonies, the witnesses of people who. And it's just amazing because the church is open 24/7, so you don't see. I've got, you know, I'm not there watching to see who comes and who goes, but people just come off the expressway. They don't know why, but they come off and they're compelled. We know, moved by the Spirit, and they find the doors open, and they have this encounter with God. And the prime example. Would be the probation officer. You can talk to that because she spoke to you. I hadn't even met her for years until I did an interview in the church. But
I remember the first day that she came with the she wanted to bring the juvenile to work with us here in the parish, and there was something I could tell that she was going through this darkness in her life. A dark night of the soul. I didn't ask her, but she opened up and said she was going through a rough divorce. And I'll never forget when she said, "I thought I had found true love. I loved my husband, but it didn't work out. It was very toxic." And she said she just started coming to adoration, that it just drew her. She said, I didn't know what to do at the beginning. I didn't know how to pray. I just sat there and it made me something, it just made me cry. So she said she cried, and she said that she just kept coming back and just sat there and felt this powerful presence. And she said, "I don't know." And even when she describes it, she says, "I don't know why I start crying." She gets emotional when she talks about it. And she said that people, her own family, they, as time went by, they would ask her, "What happened to you? What can you tell us? We want what you have." You know, when she was going through the divorce, she said she would go to counseling, and not saying that it doesn't help, but she said this was so transforming, the word transforming. And people said that I had become somebody different, full of, that there was this light. She said people would describe me as somebody joyful and full of light. And she said, "I found true love in adoration. It was Christ." And she said that she tells people, "It's Jesus. It's Him who transforms."
And isn't as I recall the story back way back when, that she came looking for the soup kitchen but couldn't find the soup kitchen, but she found the doors open.
Yeah,
and that's when she came in, and it wasn't that she didn't expect this that happened to her, that it moved her so deeply
yes.
that she was brought to tears, and it was yes. the beginning of the healing process, the transformative, the transformation of her life.
And she said, and you've said it before, Father, that when people come for the first time and they don't know, it's an encounter with Christ, that they come and they could sit there for 5 or 10 minutes, but as time goes by, they, and she mentioned that the same, that she would sit there, like she had this desire to be there in the presence longer and longer
right.
as time went by.
So I remember, Father, when you used to tell us, you know, every Sunday, well, adoration. It was hard for me because although I listened to you, and I'm glad you said it over and over and over again, but when I started doing it, I would say, and you used to say, just 5 minutes, mm-hmm. sit for 5 minutes. And for me, 5 minutes became a half an hour,
right. mm-hmm.
became an hour. And yeah. it's just, it's like an unburdening. And Christine, I wanted to say something. You said something, how it's Our Lady, it's our Queen, it's our Mother, and it's a family. And, you know, I think about that because there's been many occasions I have come in the middle of the night for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and I see people, and I think, okay, here's our people that you never know. Maybe they're having a bad right. marriage. Maybe they're
right.
They've lost the mother, lost the father, don't have parents. A lot of times when I came, I felt orphaned until I sat.
Yeah.
And it draws you in.
Right, right.
And if you're, and again, it's not something, it may happen the first time you come there, but it for me, the more I just stood and said, help me.
Right.
It works.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you feel it. And people have said that. Just coming in, I feel a presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something I want to come back to. And it's just, I just wish more people would, especially how you began with just the explanation. To me, it's flawless. It's not somebody's dream. It's not, mm-hmm. oh, this is not how we represent. It's just the faith, you know, the yeah. Bible. This is all from the text, the word of God.
Yeah, the beautiful thing is it's people who have no idea,
mm-hmm.
like this woman, or many people I've talked to, you know, who, because I'll ask some people, you know, what brings you, you know, we have people who, a Serbian Orthodox who's mm-hmm. converting to Catholicism because of the adoration
mm-hmm.
of the Blessed Sacrament. Healing, people with addictions, people who have been mm-hmm. in prison, people who are suffering a terminal illness, people, as you said, who are going through major problems in the family. How many young couples have engaged before the Blessed Sacrament?
You read my mind, Father.
Yeah, I hear this all the time. Yeah, I've had a lot of weddings, couple, or even if they weren't married here, but they came and this is where they proposed to each other before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, because they had already had an experience of coming. Even during the pandemic, it was interesting because we were forced to shut our doors and people would park outside.
And they would pray?
Yeah.
There's even couples that, you know, they go out on a date or they go out to eat. And there were couples that would come pray together.
Right.
The rosary or
right.
adoration. They would come together. And like you said, Tony, when you come and you see other people and you're burdened with, you know, with your suffering, whatever you're going through, and you feel you're not alone when there's others praying at the same time.
Right, right.
And of course, God is there. You can feel the presence is so powerful.
So powerful.
That the times that I've gone, there's this immense peace, and times that I've gone through my own personal troubles or struggles, and I tell Him, I have no one to turn Him but You. You're the one that's always been there.
I've had a couple of priests who have been falsely accused of certain things mm-hmm. and been taken out of the priesthood for a while until they were finally exonerated. Is that the word? And
yes.
They've written to me and they said it was what got them through it was that the doors were open and they could come in the lonely hours of the night and mm-hmm. just pray. You know, we got to take a break. We'll come right back and we'll continue with this. But that's a very, very powerful, very, very beautiful. The why, you know, the reason why, open these doors, you know, the cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, the tyranny of noise will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony here with Tony and Christina. You know, to be in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament and to adore Him from the heart is to place trust in Him. And that can bring healing to your soul and transformation to your life. In her diary, you know, St. Maria Faustina, called the Apostle of the Divine Mercy, wrote this. She said, I saw the same rays of the Divine Mercy issuing from the monstrance and spreading throughout the church. Beneath these rays, a heart will grow warm, even if it were like a block of ice. Jesus had told St. Maria Faustina, let the rays of grace enter your soul. They bring with them light, warmth, and light. And I think that summarizes in a beautiful way the experience people have in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament.
Or even the saints, they talk about, they did a lot of adoration and prayer. And like yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints. But their experiences, even, I think it was St. Teresa of Avila who would go into ecstasy when she was in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And or other saints that would even levitate as they're before our Lord. It's just that the power.
There's a power there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I guess the thought just went out of my mind. What was I going to say? In any case, I think that the Blessed Virgin Mary is sprinkling mm-hmm. the world with sanctuaries. And there's... Everything is centered around the adoration of her son in the Holy mm-hmm. Eucharist. Because some people may not get to the Mass, you know, in the sense, when I say that, what I mean is, even those who are not Catholic, people come and they can't partake in the sacramental life of the church because they're not Catholic or they haven't been catechized or maybe they haven't even been baptized. But nonetheless, you know, they're created by God, and, you know, God has, again, I say you come through these doors and you accompany, there's an encounter, and this is the beginning of a process whereby one comes to know, to love, and to serve God, and eventually can, depending on a person's disposition, but bring them eventually then back to the sacraments or to the faith, because and they're not able to identify. They just know this is again the miracle, mm-hmm. a miracle of the Holy. These are the real miracles of the Holy Eucharist, Eucharistic miracles, mm-hmm. is what it does to the heart and the soul, the mind and the body of those who adore. And then, of course, you get your Annas and Simeons, you know, mm-hmm. those who are I'm thinking of Blanca, who I used to always call
Anna
because I thought she's a... I think she's Ecuadorian. I always thought she was Mexican, but I think she's actually Ecuadorian.
Beautiful soul.
Beautiful, beautiful soul. And she's there all the time. There are certain people that are there all the time praying. And by the way, you know, you see the joy. You see the simplicity, the humility in the lives of these people. So for years, I called her Anna because Anna. I always thought of her as Anna, but her name is actually Blanca. I talked to her last night. I told her it's funny because I saw her last night, and she said, because her daughter was there and her daughter's husband and the two kids, and I said, you know, for so many years I called you. We were all talking. I called you Anna, and she said, yeah, porque era una viejita, no? Anna era una viejita.
She was an old lady.
Because the old lady, the widowed mother. Or the widowed woman who had no children.
Sure.
But she spent, after her husband died, very young in the marriage. She never remarried, but she spent all her life praying in the temple, you know.
And it's beautiful that during Lent, when they have the Stations of the Cross, and she would always volunteer to read. She reads beautifully, but she doesn't wear glasses. She doesn't have glasses. She has the... What do you call that?
The magnifying glass.
That's how she reads. But she reads so beautifully, Father. But very, very humble, simple soul. And there's others in the church that, like you said, they come every evening. They're there praying, adoration, and very quiet. But to me, they're...
Becky would be one who's very faithful.
Oh, she's always there in adoration.
There's a lot of...
And it's like people, when they start coming to adoration... Others notice a difference.
Right,
other people, and they might not know. They're like, there's something about you different. I want to have what you have. Tell me what it is. What's the secret?
You know, I've heard it described, and I think it's true. You know, if you want to, you go to the, you know, for those of us who are really, really white, you know, you're coming from Florida, you know, you go out and you bathe in the sun, or sunbathe, whatever, you know, you want to get a suntan, you want to get some color under your skin, and you're there and nothing's happening, right? Nothing's happening, and you keep looking to see if, okay, is my skin turning a little bit? And then, of course, so you may be out there several hours, and then you come back. By the time you get home in the evening, all of a sudden you're burned to a crisp, right? and I've heard that described, that when you're before the Blessed Sacrament, you don't realize what's happening. You don't know the transformation that's happening, but there is a transformation that happens, and it becomes apparent, you know. And like you said, Tony, you may start out 5 minutes, then it becomes 10 minutes. And by the way, so our students, you know, this is a sure, they have to have adoration every week. Every student, every class has to go to adoration in addition to the Mass. And they love it. They love the silence. And they spread out. In fact, I had created a program thinking, you know, that they're only going to be able to spend 5 minutes in silence. And I have the eighth graders over here. I teach them over here once a week. They come to the rectory, and so I've asked them how's the adoration going, and so what I the format, so I, it would be doable, you know, that they would pray a chapel. I got it right here, that they would begin with the angel prayer. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, I thank you, and I beg pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love thee, and do not thank thee. So they pray that three times. Then they have 5 minutes of silence. You know, converse with God from the heart, or be still, know that He is God. That, you know, this is your Creator, your Redeemer. He's got His eyes on you, whom He loves. And then after 5 minutes, they pray a decade of the Rosary for conversion and for peace, asking Our Lady to send more students to our school. And in 5 minutes, and then they have the decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and in 5 minutes of silence, and then the Divine Praises, they'll end the adoration. But what they, and I was very happy about this, to hear this, they chose to do all the prayers initially so that they could have more time in silence. Can you imagine that? That's coming from the eighth graders.
That's beautiful.
So the 5 minutes wasn't enough. They wanted more time in silence.
See, that's me too. Yeah. I'm very, until I realized what silence is, you crave it now.
Yeah.
Because I'm just one of those people that's always fidgety, always thinking about other things. I used to be like that at Mass too, but now when I come to Mass, you're focused.
Right. Yeah.
The Mass, when you really know what it's about, there's a focus, and that's what I found even in adoration. You know, it's not that here's a statue, and people say this, oh, why do you got to pray to Mary? Until you understand what's really happening.
Yeah.
You know, well, it was beautiful how you started the show, describing the, Stoney said, it needed to be heard.
I couldn't say anything. Yeah. I was absorbing it. You've said it so many times. That's why I thank you. And I personally, from me to you, wish you'd say it all the time. You know what I mean? That's, I think, the beautiful thing that we all forget. I mean, I can walk out of here. I'd love to be able to say it, like you said. It's so beautiful.
You know, and we're just about out of time here, but it is what's lacking right now in the church. And is the mysticism. And this, we're talking about the church's mysticism. It's an encounter with God. It's got to be more than just the celebration of the people. We can't lose our focus. That what's central to our faith is God with us, Emmanuel, in the Holy Eucharist, and that changes us, motivates us, moves us into mission to give witness in word and in deed that indeed God is here. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Have a blessed day. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.